Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, down 92.9 FM, 680 AM. However, if you're away from the radio dial, you can keep up to date everything happening here on the station. Download the Odyssey app. Free to download. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Just search for the Odyssey app in your app store and sign up to listen to 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, as he is on Tuesdays and Fridays, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights on VSiN. VSiN Football's college football, or VSiN Sports' college football betting tailgate, or betting podcast. I don't know why I'm screwing up on this. He's also the host of VSiN's college football betting tailgate show on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Download the VSiN app. You know what to do. Good day, sir.
What's up, man? I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. Let's playoff say, week, baby.
It is game week. We have the playoffs. I don't know if it's just the atmosphere, the coaches whining has become infectious, but I got a couple of concerns, and I want to discuss them with you, talk them out, and maybe I'll end up feeling a little bit better. But, of course, it relates to the college football playoff, as we do have game week. We'll get into that to start the show. We'll talk some NFL next segment. I guess two deeply unserious Monday Night Football games last night. How would you categorize it? It didn't feel like Vegas was buzzing for the Monday Night game last night.
Well, I drove past Allegiant Stadium while they were playing the football game, and I didn't really have much traffic, so, you know.
Yeah, the last time I was in Vegas was this summer, and it was the Brazil, was that Copa? What do we have? Yeah. Copa Americana. Brazil was playing, and we glossed over it. We just sat right there, you know, across from Mandalay Bay, Allegiant. We just sat there for like an hour. You did not have said problem?
No, I did not. Did not have an issue last night with the, I wouldn't say the Atlanta Falcons fan base is the most, I don't know.
Gung-ho?
Traveling, yeah. They've got other things to do, especially with the way they've been playing. So, yeah. Monday Night Football, a little bit of a dud last night. But, yeah, I'll pose this question. The Minnesota Vikings are now 12-2.
Yeah.
Like, and I was asked this morning on the show that I do in Milwaukee, which was, are the Vikings good? And like the simple question answer is, yeah, they're good, but are they a team that you legitimately think can win the Super Bowl?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because on my notes I wrote down the same topic to explore, because I would like to discuss it, because on Sunday I left feeling at the end of the day, I'm not saying which one's going to win it, but it was like, I felt like the AFC is down to the Chiefs and the Bills, and the NFC is down to the Eagles and the Lions, and I would kind of be surprised if two of those four teams are not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the only team I guess I would throw in there, and I know you disagree, would be Baltimore. But Yeah, I would say. I mean, the Chiefs are so the Chiefs are one of those teams that is because it's the Chiefs, because it's Patrick Mahomes who's dealing with the ankle injury right now. Any other team, I'd be like, there's no way I'm going to trust that team in the playoffs. But it's Patrick Mahomes.
And yep.
Like, he'll just get the ball in his hand. Like, I've bet against Patrick Mahomes now in two Super Bowls, and I have lost both of those bets, including last year, on the Niners. When the Niners kicked the field goal in overtime, I'm like, we're done. It's over. They're going to win because it's Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the Bills, when you look at Kansas City, I was all in on Philly preseason, and now I'm back all in on Philly. Detroit, these injuries, man, it's brutal what they are dealing with from an injury standpoint. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to overcome this plethora of injuries.
So we'll talk about that during the next segment. Looking forward to that because we haven't had a lot of NFL discussion, but it's now starting to get serious in the NFL. So I want to discuss that. Get into the list. Tim, I want to pick your brain. A lot of NBA ratings talk.
Ugh.
While I don't necessarily care about the ratings talk itself, I do think there are some big picture things about the NBA that I kind of wanted to pick your brain on. So we'll use that as a format. Also got a new All-Star Game format. I know everybody's looking forward to that. We have moved. We've flexed. We've done a Week 17 flex, so we'll get into that. And then I'm springing this on Tim. He doesn't know this, but he now knows it because he looked at the tweet. Let's rank the CFP coaches like we did the quarterbacks. Have you tossed the idea around?
I saw your tweet, and I will start making notes. I think this will be a little easier than the quarterbacks, but maybe not.
I think it's easier, but we'll find out. Like you know what I mean? Like that's kind of an interesting aspect of it.
Yeah,
we'll tell your story, then we'll get out of here. But this idea was spurred upon my buddy Stephen Godfrey. He had a podcast come out, and it was kind of a throwaway line as it pertains to the playoff format. Because obviously, we know at the bare minimum, we're getting some kind of changes in 2026. It's possible we're getting changes for next season to the playoff in 2025. And he had mentioned that pay attention to what happens in the on-campus games, because the representatives that run the bowls, they are going to hammer on any time a game is impacted by weather, anything that could change. You know, this would all be fixed if we would just play in the bowl game. That's going to get hammered, and it's going to get beaten incessantly. And while I think he's 100% spot on about that, I think the bowl execs have been doing a lot of that, and it's largely gone ignored for a little bit. And so I'm not necessarily all that worried about that per se. But as somebody who is honestly in favor of all of the bowl game or all of the playoff games being played on campus until the championship game, I have no problem doing it NFL style. I also acknowledge there's going to be this reality that the SEC and all these leagues, like, there's not someone to just dictate, here's how it's going to be. There's going to be a negotiation, and there's going to be competing interests. If we wind up in a situation where Tennessee gets bounced this week, I'd be surprised if Texas gets bounced, but Texas has a home game, and if they get bounced, it's like, so be it. But if we wind up in a scenario where the SEC is not even a part of the Final Four, let's say Georgia can't overcome the loss of Carson Beck, and let's say Tennessee gets bounced this week, and then let's say Texas would wind up with Arizona State, right?
Yep.
So you and I don't exactly believe in that, but let's say Oregon pops them, and so they have one of the Final Four, but it's a kind of a non-competitive game. The SEC constituency is already out for blood with Sankey. And I just wonder if one of the things that we're going to do, because another big part of the conversation that we're hearing right now, we've got to rethink these bowl games and we've got to reimagine the bowl system. I'm really afraid of if the weather impacts the results, that we're going to wind up just kind of force feeding more bowl games into the system, and we're getting rid of something that I think is truly unique about this and something that is truly cool about this event.
Look, when you look at realignment and how this is all played out, we know who's running college football. It's the television networks. And I'm hopeful that this weekend, especially the two primetime games, Notre Dame, Indiana, Ohio State, Tennessee, that the ratings are astronomical, that the scene is incredible, and that we don't even think about that possibility. But I think there is a reality that these first round matchups are going to be at bowl sites. And I'm with you, man. I could not disagree more. Look, you guys know where I stand on this playoff, and it's going to get tweaked. There's going to be more teams added, but I think right now where it stands, I'm really good with it. Outside of, look, is this year going to be the outlier with Arizona State and Boise State getting the byes? Maybe. I think there's a possibility that it is the outlier. It bugs me a little bit, but not too much, and there's plenty of people else out there that are fired up about it. The thing that I was recording my podcast this morning, and I brought up casually, you know, we've had so much buildup for this weekend, you know, looking at the weather and ticket prices and all of that. One thing I believe we're glossing over is that we get the big bowl games back, like the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, Peach, sure, whatever. We get them back, and there's not going to be opt-outs. Like, I don't know. For me, the fact that we get New Year's Day back as a day where it is three tremendous games that are for a national championship, I think that's being glossed over, maybe because we haven't gotten there yet, right? Maybe next week we'll start talking more about it. But to your original point about the eyeballs and, you know, the nitpicking that's going to be out there. Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I think Penn State, you've seen some of the secondary ticket markets. It's not ideal. It's not great. Like, let's say Notre Dame makes the playoff next year. Is the novelty of Notre Dame hosting a playoff game in 20 degrees weather going to wear off and the fans aren't going to be there paying, you know, $300-$400 on the secondary market? I don't know the answer to that, but I hope we don't, because I really think it's going to be so unique to see these four games this weekend. And it's something that this sport has really never seen, to be honest, right? Like, we've never, outside of the COVID year when we had some random games in like the middle of December on campuses without crowds, like, we have never seen this. So I hope that we don't tinker with it. We will. I'm not dumb and naive, but I think I'm hoping that this weekend delivers so that they don't consider messing with it too much.
Yeah, and I think that's, in the end, that's the part that's out of our control. And so you just hope that, hey man, I hope we get four good games, because if we get four good games, then we can have the momentum building of, man, isn't this great? Because to me, it's like, man, what I think would be better than anything is seeing all these games NFL style on campus. And hey, you don't want to go play in the cold weather? Like, have a better season. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how we do it in the NFL. Like, you know what I mean?
And that's what we said about, you know, Alabama and Miami. It's, yep, like, you want to make the playoff? Beat Syracuse. Beat Oklahoma. You're in. No, it's not a Florida State situation. So, you know, I, as someone who loves bowl games, I'm cool with it, you know, in the quarterfinals. I love that the Rose Bowl is going to remain on New Year's Day. You know, at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Pacific, kind of that perfect time where you get, you know, the sunset and all of that. But I don't look, no knock on the, you know, Boca Raton Bowl, but I don't need a playoff game taking place at FAU Stadium. You know, I don't need a playoff game going to the teal turf in Myrtle Beach for that bowl game. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if we get out?
I think it's a fair point that you make. This would be the other question, is if the bowl system were to get involved, how many other bowls out there could participate? Because realistically, I think you have to look for a couple of things. Number one, weather has got to be the obvious issue, or a dome. Okay.
Alamo Dome.
Alamo Dome's going to be it. And then maybe if you want to have more of the West Coast presence, either SoFi or Vegas, places where we already have bowl games.
Look, I know I was being a bit hyperbolic today.
No, I'm with you, but that's the other thing. Yeah. I actually think that's a part of it. So it's like
Vegas Bowl, SoFi, you know, the Gronk Bowl.
Like, let's be real, we're not playing a playoff game in Fenway.
No, we're not playing a playoff game at Yankee Stadium. We're not playing a playoff game in Boise, even though I'll be there on Monday. Looking forward to it.
When the Titans build their new stadium, yeah. Nashville gets involved.
I know we've gotten to the point.
We forgot Houston. Ugh, the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, LSU Baylor, get excited. I know we've gotten to the point where it doesn't even feel like they are students, but they are students, and they have...
On paper.
They have final exams.
On paper.
Yeah, this is true. And, like, look, the graduates... They might be taking ballroom dancing for one credit, and
Some of the undergrads, the teams that we're talking about, a lot of the undergrads are online students.
But I do think it takes away, and now you're asking fan bases to travel four times. Like I'm curious too. Like, all right, let's just take Notre Dame for example. Okay, so they play at home. All right, they're there. You know, it's a national fan base, so maybe it's a bad example. Then you go to the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day, New Orleans. Then you go to Miami, and then you go to Atlanta. Like, are we anticipating these fan bases to travel three times for the playoffs? I guess they will, but...
Well, I mean, I honestly don't you think...
And you think about Oregon's fan base.
Well, I was going to say, like,
I was actually about to use Big Ten championship.
I was about to use that as my example of, you know, I'm not taking exit polls of why the secondary ticket market for bowl games. I almost feel like this is like NBA people that are kind of furious, going, look at the secondary markets of college football. If you're an Oregon fan and you know that that game is largely meaningless in Indy, and you know, hey man, I'm hoping to travel four more times to places that you just also mentioned that are much more expensive to travel to than just going to Indy for a day in, you know, a day in, day out, maybe one hotel night. Fan bases are real people. These are things you have to consider.
Yeah.
And, like, I do also wonder, like, okay, here's the other thing. When we're, like, let's take the secondary ticket prices as a possibility. I think the other thing that's getting left out of this is, if you're a Penn State fan, how jazzed up are you for this? Because, number one, yes, you've made the playoff. But, number two, in the back of your mind, aren't you kind of like, oh, this is another chance for James Franklin to claim to beat SMU and then claim it's a big win? And I just get the sense that the fan base, they're kind of together because neither has a better option. You know what I mean? And, like, I do wonder how much of the matchups are dictating this. But my whole deal is, okay, like, let's say we would have changed how we seeded this. Aren't some of these matchups, like, these are the days that are just going to be the least sexy matchup, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the NFL always has...
Super wild card weekend stinks.
You have, like, the 4:30 Eastern game that used to be, like,
the
here
Texans
you go, ESPN.
Memorial.
Yeah,
here's the Texans with Matt Schaub.
Against the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or, you know, that was always a good Yates of Hell game, like, against the Bengals with the Red Rifle.
So... Yeah, I mean, Penn State, SMU, it's funny because I was about to say, hey, that's the game with the G5 team. Oh, wait, nope, SMU's a Power 4 program
Correct.
Now. And
money can buy you happiness.
Penn State, I think this note has also been made. They've got the noon Eastern window. A lot of Penn State fans are Steeler fans, and they play the Baltimore Ravens at 4:30 that afternoon. So there might be like, do I really want to go out and freeze my ass off to watch Penn State SMU, or I could just stay inside and watch both of these games
back to back?
Yeah. Back to back, bang bang, on a holiday weekend against our hated rival, the Baltimore Ravens.
And let's be clear, like, in this day and age, doesn't that kind of sound enticing?
Yes. I mean, they're like, look, I'm not going to the game on Saturday, Friday night, Notre Dame and Indiana. I did have access to tickets. So I have a little bit of FOMO, but I've got to work, and then we're flying to Boise for the bowl game. But
so you got to work again.
There's part of me that's like, I really want to go just to be there. But then I'm like, it's going to be 20 degrees. That doesn't sound too fun. Like, what's the coldest game? You already told me you're soft. So
yes, absolutely.
What's the coldest game you've ever attended as a fan?
2000 Music City Bowl. Ole Miss, West Virginia at the whatever the it's Nissan Stadium now. And
is that a day game or a night game?
It was that classic, like, kicked off in the afternoon sun, and then the sun went down. And that stadium is kind of built in a hole right by the river, and it just creates this giant wind tunnel. It is the most miserable I've ever been.
Did you stay the whole game?
Yeah, well, because my dad and I, like, at that time, like, there was a sense of pride of you got to stay. And then also because Ole Miss was getting their ass kicked so badly, Eli Manning came in that day. And at that point, it's like, well, I guess I'm staying now. But we were in the section where it was like their club level. And so I would just watch most, like, I would go inside to watch a decent amount of the game, and then, like, when Eli would come out on offense, I'd walk back outside to watch it. But absolutely miserable. I covered an Ole Miss-Missouri game in 2013 that was brutal. And, I mean, by the way, like, let's put these on the spectrum. Like, Big Ten people, like, the West Virginia people were in, like, shorts and T-shirts. Like, there were shirtless people. Like, I acknowledge this is me being soft. But at the same time, it's like, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I'm diehard, and I'm sitting there going, man, this could be cool to go to the first one. I would just look at the forecast and go, not happening. And, I mean, we got 28 at State College. Let's see. On Saturday, whatever, Austin's going to be fine. It's 60 with sun. And then Ohio State's 25 degrees with a chance of rain.
Oh, rain would be miserable.
And even worse, like, all it takes is at that level, just like, because it's never made sense to me. It's like, how do you have, like, 25 in rain? Like, isn't that supposed to be snowing conditions? But, like, when you get those super cold days and somehow it starts to rain, like, that's just the absolute worst.
When you're wet.
And cold, it's just gross.
It's just awful. You know, you're wearing a sweatshirt and it weighs 1,000 pounds.
But this all gets me to the larger point of, are we really acknowledging, in order to turn this sport into a national sport that has relevance year round, are we turning it into a television product? Because in the end, how many times do we hear about NFL games where we're talking about the ticket prices? It's just not a part of, you know, it's not even, it's not an indicator of the health of the business.
Does it have something to do with the layoff? Like, the fact that we've had these matchups now for 2 weeks, not as long as we have under normal circumstances for, you know, bowl games and what was the semifinals, but does it have anything to do with the fact that we're running out of things to talk about? Like, when we're in the playoffs or
you're saying, are we on Radio Row Tuesday of Super Bowl week?
Yeah, it feels like today, at least the things that I've noticed, ticket prices are dropping. Games are too close to Christmas. It's too cold.
Yeah, we give a lot of runway to think pieces.
And I'm like, I don't know, man. Yeah, we don't do this in the NFL. Like, we did it last year with the Chiefs and Dolphins because it was historically cold.
Yeah.
But
And the reality is, like, we joke, like, and, you know, I joke with, like, Tulane and whatnot, but it's like, the Dolphins are not a cold weather team. They have really struggled in the cold weather. Like, that, and by the way, they looked cold when they played there. That narrative made a little bit more sense because, to your point, also, like, didn't we have, like, people get hospitalized that attended the game because it was so cold? Yeah. Like, was, like, an actual, like, I don't think that was a contrived thing. I'm not saying that you're wrong because I think
throwing it out there. I don't know.
I think my hunch is part of the problem is I look at this slate and beyond being a college football just junkie, there's only one game that if you're sitting there going, you can only watch one. Like if I lived in a real world marriage where my wife, like I didn't tell her when our first date, listen, just so you know, I don't like sports. I love sports. Like it's part, like it is my fiber. Like it's in my being. Like if I lived in a real marriage where like you have to pick, there's really only one game I'm sitting there going, I have to watch it. It's Tennessee, Ohio State. Because even if you take the Clemson, Texas with the brand aspect, are we really that, like, interested in that game? I mean, only on the sense of if we hear, like, if you and I are not watching that game, which I know it's not possible for us, but, like, let's put ourselves in that world. You and I only get interested in that game if we look up and score bug it in the third quarter and we see, damn, this is like a one-score game.
I disagree. I think the only game that I would kind of fall into that trap would be SMU Penn State. And that was the worry I felt like heading into this whole playoff.
I guess I should specify. I think, and this will be on the card Friday, I think Notre Dame is going to do what Michigan couldn't to Indiana, which is just make them look inept on offense, and then Notre Dame's going to score.
I hope you're right. Yeah, I mean, look, as
I think that game is closer to Ohio State, Indiana, and that this isn't saying like Indiana shouldn't be in there. I find myself intellectually not that curious about that game. I fundamentally, to your point, this is where you go to the window, and I have. We'll find out.
Yeah, that's why I love betting. I think from a standpoint of what opens up this whole thing. The fact that it's at Notre Dame, under the lights, should be a good atmosphere. You know, they're really trying to ratchet it up. There was a rumor that they might be wearing black uniforms. I might vomit all over myself if they wear black uniforms. I don't know why the hell they would do that. That's like a dark web message board rumor. I'm like, oh, please don't.
Where do you sit on the greens?
I just wear the regular uniforms, man. Like, I'm cool. I'm cool having a day. Like,
did I tell you I came around on your all whites?
I'm not. I'm out.
I am in the camp of don't screw with it. Like Notre Dame falls into that category. It's like if Penn State screws with their uniform, Bama screws with it. Like don't screw with it.
What's wrong with gold pants?
I agree with you, but when they wore the all white, like there's some teams that wear all white and it doesn't look right. Like when Michigan tried to wear white pants, I was like, I was fine with it with Notre Dame.
Well, so there's a little bit of scarring there because the first time they donned these all-white uniforms, they went to Clemson. That was the week of Tyler from Spartanburg calling in, you know, calling in air quotes,
sure he did,
into the radio program and Dabo cutting a promo, and then Notre Dame got smoked. So I have a bit of scarring there. They did exercise the demons, so to speak. But look, I'm all for alt uniforms, like. At the end of the day, as a program, you're trying to recruit kids who are 16 and want cool stuff on Instagram. I get it. But, like, I don't know. First ever college football playoff game on a campus site in FBS history. Can we wear the traditional uniforms?
No, I think that's a fair...
Can we just not mess with it? Like, they were all green against Ohio State last year. I was there. It was pretty cool. They wore green again this year against Louisville. They're fine. I just wear the normal uniforms. Wear those gold helmets under. I mean, they're always going to wear gold helmets, but I just.
I think that's the other thing. That's why I'm fine with you having the take you do on the all white pants. I am someone that's like, if you're going to go all white, you got to wear a white helmet.
Oh, God, no.
I think you got to go stormtrooper. And that's the thing. Why would Notre Dame ever not wear the gold helmet?
I mean, I think that's, well, I guess I can't say they'll never mess with it because they're Shamrock series. They do stupid things with the helmet. But look, I am cautiously optimistic, and I'm usually a pretty pessimistic Notre Dame fan. I think the matchup is pretty good for Notre Dame. You know, we can get into specifics on Friday of how I'm looking to bet this game. I think there are some prop angles that I think you could attack. But, yeah, all in all, I mean, I think the only game, like, if the, I guess it's tricky because I was about to say, if this was week one of 2025, which games would be appointment viewing? Clemson, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State would be the two. Indiana probably wouldn't have been on there.
Not this year.
But they had this season, man, and they're 11-1, and they got a coach who talks a lot of smack. And look, Kirk Cignetti, I think if Indiana had a boring coach, I don't think this Friday night game is as enticing. But the fact that he loves to talk and be braggadocious, I think enhances this game a little bit. Like,
well, there's also the Cinderella element.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, Indiana hasn't won a bowl game since like 90-91 or something like that. Notre Dame hasn't won a big bowl game since I think 93. So yeah, there is some like intrigue from that standpoint too. But the fact that we of this weekend have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think I could say six of the eight contestants are blue blood programs. Like, is Clemson a blue blood now that they've won multiple championships?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. My gut is no. I think I'll say this. I think UConn basketball is more of a blue blood than Clemson football is.
Well, UConn basketball's won 5 titles.
I know, but there's that weird, you know, people get weird about blue blood status.
Well, it's like, is Villanova a blue blood in college basketball?
I think that's a better question. I think Villanova is like, I would view Villanova not as a blue blood, and I would view Villanova and Clemson as the same thing. They had a unbelievable run, and it coincides. Like, Villanova basketball is always going to be significant, just like Clemson football is going to be significant, but it's really hard for them to max out and stay with everyone year in, year out. Like, I've got a buddy who swears that part of the Clemson dynasty angle is just playing in the ACC. He's like, they cakewalked to the tournament.
SEC fan?
He might be. I will say this.
Does he also say compelling arguments?
Does
he also say that Brady got a leg up because the Patriots got a bye every year because their division stunk?
No, this is not a Tennessee fan. That would be a Tennessee fan that would make that argument because that goes deep to Brady and Peyton.
Oh wow, yeah, that's some deep stuff. I don't even know exists.
You've got to know like where all the debates come from. Like, there's always, you can always like trace it back to patient zero. All right, well, let's talk some NFL. We had 2 Monday night games, but Tim posed a good question. Should we be taking the Vikings seriously? I think it's a very fair question. Let's discuss it and talk a little bit of NFL and more. We also have the Titans making it official. There will be a quarterback change, and this time they don't have to dance around and act like it is because of injury. So we'll talk about NFL news when we come back. Also want to remind you, you can add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you're celebrating one of life's biggest milestones, like an engagement, or simply making the holidays unforgettable, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect gift for your loved one. You can check out the diamond earrings. It's one of the top holiday picks. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're like the little black dress of jewelry. They start at just $3.99 at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also check out tennis bracelets, diamond necklaces, always popular options.
right there at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Also, it's a big engagement time of the year. And if you're thinking about getting engaged, go see my friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can choose from handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, fashion-forward styles that she'll adore. Or if you want something one-of-a-kind, you can design your own ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers and feel confident with the meant-to-be guarantee. It's a 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy on custom-designed rings. It's what we did for my wife's engagement ring. I'll catch her from time to time checking it out, and I know that it's one of the few things for my wife that I have done right. Also, you can shop now, pay later, 12 months interest-free financing, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. They're also open on Sunday before the Christmas holiday shopping. Visit any of their five locations. Shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. When we come back, let's talk some NFL. We'll do it next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Tim, we had the Monday night doubleheader last night. Neither game particularly compelling. The Vikings handle the Bears pretty easily, although I thought at times the Bears moved the ball okay. They did not finish drives, and lo and behold, once they had, I think it was like that strip sack when Caleb hit his third step ready to throw and he got the left tackle got beat so badly. Like once that fumble happens, like, okay, that's how this game's going. Then we had the Falcons-Raiders, and that was a college game, man. That was definitely a tough watch. Also, your boy was sitting on +6, and I'm screaming at Pierce, kick it, kick it, kick it. Sure enough, he kicks it, and the kick gets blocked, so we push there. That was fun. That was a night of nasty dogs that didn't really pay out. But I think there were a couple of thoughts that I had. Number one, are the Falcons, at some point, do you have to test out Penix just to see what you've got? Because I am someone that does kind of think, all right, are we really certain if we just throw Michael Penix in there that all of a sudden this fixes everything? Now, the one argument that I did listen to that gave me, yeah, I said, okay, maybe there's a point. Kirk did try to run last night, and you can tell he cannot move at all. And so maybe if you get Penix in there, it at least gives you another element. But who has seen more absolute just, you know, bullets in the matrix than Kirk Cousins? I just wonder at a certain point, like, are we maybe rushing this conversation too much? Have we lost him?
Hold on. I had turned down my... There you go. I had turned down my board here. Apologies.
You're good.
I had a deep breath there too.
Mm-hmm. I know Kirk's a sore subject for you.
He's a tough subject, but he's a tough watch right now. He really is. And the crazy thing about Atlanta is you've got this situation where it feels like the season has slipped through your fingertips. However, they play the Giants on Sunday, your Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them. They're 8-7 going into a game that was just flexed in the Sunday Night Football for the last wild card spot. Like, it's crazy. As much as this team has felt like they've completely fallen off, they're right there. So I don't know. Like, and I get it. You can't make decisions solely off of the money that you've spent, but like, can't you? I feel like you have to play Kirk this weekend and just see where they're at. I know, I think Orlovsky just said something recently on ESPN regarding Penix and, you know, the growing belief. I'll double check what the quote ultimately was. But
and
like,
to be fair, Dan was there last night.
Right. So I think there's excitement. I think there's no doubt there's excitement around Michael Penix. There's a reason they spent a top 10 pick, whether I agree or disagree with it, on Michael Penix. But you're 7-7. You've still got a really good shot to make the playoffs, even though you don't look like a playoff team. I don't know. It's a really tricky situation. But yeah, Kirk, he's always been kind of a polarizing subject in the NFL, going back to his days in Washington when he took over the job for RG3. But he's not himself. He's clearly not himself right now with coming off the Achilles tear, right?
Absolutely.
He's not back. And this is a conversation we had last week, which is like, if the 49ers ultimately decide to not sign Brock Purdy to a long-term deal, would a guy like Kirk look better next year in that system? I don't know the answer to that, but long-winded answer to your initial question, I don't know if I go to Penix yet. Even though
I think as long as you're still in the playoff race, isn't that what you paid him for?
Right. That he's the you convinced yourself that this is a bad division which is what we thought it would be. Tampa's playing pretty well right now. But in what was perceived to be a bad division, you spent this money on a veteran quarterback to make the playoffs. Oh, by the way, you have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Tampa Bay. You swept them. So the opportunity's still out there, even though you just lost four straight games. You got your butts kicked by the Broncos. Kirk played one of the worst games of the whole season against the Chargers. And then you got your butt kicked against the Vikings. You got the Giants, Commanders, and Panthers left. And let's be honest, watching the Commanders on Sunday, wasn't that inspiring?
No.
I mean, they tried to blow that game.
Did I tell you what happened to the teaser?
Oh, yeah, I had a teaser, too.
That official that stopped the clock, I want him tried for war crimes.
That was... I did see a take. Well, Vegas is in on the take. I'm like, yeah, because Vegas is that sophisticated where, like, forget about the total and the side. We need those teaser legs blown up.
There we go. Yeah, that's what, well, I guess the argument would be they would have covered too if they would have wound the clock. But that one.
No, they wouldn't have. It closed 7.5.
Oh, okay. I saw a bunch of people that had, I guess a bunch of people had 7 or whatever. But to your point, yeah, I had a teaser. I had 1.5. So,
did I. Yeah, I had a teaser of 1.5, and that was fun. That was a fun way to unfold. So he threw the ball 17 times yesterday. Like I don't know what that offense is right now, but it's what's crazy is like he's regressed as the year has gone on. You would think he would get stronger.
No, it feels like weren't we just in like September, October talking about like is he going to be a part of the MVP conversation?
Well, like he had that Thursday night explosion against the Buccaneers. He had the comeback against the Eagles. And now, I don't know what the hell happened. He's fallen off a cliff. Like he's... I've never torn my Achilles. But, you know, aren't you supposed to be like slowly, gradually getting better?
My theory on it was early, like, because if you look at the Steelers, I think he spent the entire Steelers game to open the season in the gun or the pistol, and then teams didn't adjust until the last few, you know, it took, you know, like how it took the NFL, what, like 8 or 9 games to figure out the Wildcat, and then they figured it out, and now no one really runs it. It almost feels to me like teams started figuring out, hey, man, he's not leaving the pocket. Like, you've just collapsed the pocket, and he's not going to be able to make the throws. But, man, I don't know. It was a tough watch, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. It feels like as long as you're in it with the playoffs, like that's what you spent the money for, you're going to keep it. All right, now let's go to the other game because this is the question that you posed, and I've been thinking a lot about it because I mentioned on Sunday when I got done with Sunday, I was like, I think we've basically gotten down to 4 teams in the AFC and the NFC. And if you want to throw in the Ravens, that's fine. I think they need to win on Sunday if I'm going to bump them up into that category. But the Vikings are sitting here at 12-2. And they're 12-2. They have scored 369 points, allowed 52. So you're sitting at a plus 117 point margin, which trails what the Lions, trying to think in terms of teams that they would trail. Okay, so you trail the Bills,
Lions, Eagles.
And the Eagles.
Yep.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting here at 12-2, and I'm going, why can I not buy in on them? Because they have the elements that you would want. They have a truly unguardable receiver in Jefferson, an elite number 2 in Addison. Hockenson's a good tight end, and he's been really good since coming back. You've got a strong running game. But then I started thinking more and more about it.
Good defense.
Good defense. It's
really good coordinator.
Correct. Do you know how many playoff teams, based on today, do you know how many playoff teams they've played?
Beaten or played?
Played.
They played the Lions.
Yep.
And they played the Packers.
Yep.
Is that it?
There were two early. They absolutely throttled
the Texans
at home.
Yeah. Yep,
throttled the Texans that started the C.J. Stroud downward spiral. And then they had a Thursday night game at the Rams. So they're 2-2 in those games. Those are their only two losses. But then you have 10-0 that comes from this confederation of elite teams. Giants, Jets, Colts, Jags, Titans, Bears twice, Arizona, and Atlanta. I think that's what it is. And then, honestly, I'm happy for Sam Darnold. Like, I actually do kind of like the guy that has finally, like, found a home and is kind of crushing it. I still think what it boils down to is, like, I'm just not convinced that if he gets into a game and there's elite talent on the other end that, like, he's going to make all the throws. Even though he can make the throws. But, like,
yeah.
Like last night you saw, like, Aikman was really good at pointing out, like, man, he just throws every ball really flat. And it's like, it's not a bad thing if you've got the arm strength to do it, but you have to be right on the money. And if you're not right on the money, like, he had several balls last night that could have kind of flipped the game. I think that's what it boils down to. It's like, I just don't believe in Sam Darnold to get them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, the game again, and I find myself nitpicking more with Sam Darnold. And once again, we go back to our conversation from last Friday, which was Kyle Shanahan, by all accounts, loved Sam Darnold when they had him out there for that 1 year, right?
And Kyle Shanahan, to be clear, KOC is part of the family.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like Darnold is a guy that was Brock Purdy, like the last pick of the NFL draft. Not that that necessarily means much, but like this was a guy that
first round talent, I mean,
third overall pick, goes to the Jets. All right, is that his fault that he went to one of the worst organizations in football? Goes to the Panthers. How'd that work out for Baker Mayfield too, right? Like, maybe he just needed to be in a system that you had a coach like Kevin O'Connell. And do I want to pay Sam Darnold $50 million a year? No. But right now, what's he making? Like,
I mean, isn't he like on the veteran minimum?
He's like $2 million or something like that. I don't know. Whatever he's making. Like,
I think they might have given him like that bridge deal where it's like, what is it, like $10 million?
Seven. Yeah, whatever. But he's not making a lot, right? He's not making a big time killing. But you look at his numbers, 29-11, 68%.
It's 1 year, $10 million, or $10 million, but only 8.7 is guaranteed.
I think a lot of us are anticipating that horrendous game to happen, and it really hasn't this year. He's had a couple stinkers, like I mentioned, the Jacksonville game was bad.
He has done a better job. The last month, he was turning the ball, even in games when he was playing well, he was turning the ball over, but he's cut down the turnovers.
I think we just have to accept that they're good. Like, what was it, 2 years ago, the Vikings made the playoffs and lost to the Giants, and they kept winning all of these close games.
Yeah, I think that was O'Connell's first year.
They won the division, and in my world, the gambling world, all of us were like, we're going to fade them as soon as they make the playoffs because they don't make sense. They were like 11-0 in one score games. Wasn't that the number?
Something yeah, I mean, they like had that. At the time for their record, like the whole deal was like the point margin. Like they had like a single digit point margin and they were like, you know, I think they finished like 13-4.
I mean, this year they're winning games, not all of them, but they're winning a good chunk of them by margin, right? And, you know, let's see what they do against Detroit in a couple of weeks. But I think they're good. But would I go to the window right now and bet them to win the Super Bowl? No. Would I go to the window and bet them to win the NFC? No. I just, even though those are the juicy odds that are out there, I can't get there right now. And they're, you know, to win the NFC, they're sitting at 6-1. It's a pretty good number for a team that's 12-2. But I can't get there. I can't do it on this Minnesota team.
Okay, and then this is the other thing I was thinking about. And yes, I am aware of the injuries. I am aware of everything that's going on to the Detroit defense. I do think what we're doing with Detroit, though, is what you were talking about, maybe what we're doing with the playoffs, the college football playoffs, where we've kind of run out of things to talk about. It's almost like they lost one game to Buffalo, who might be the best team in football. And yes, the final score was probably closer than the game was, but I think we might be overreacting. They do have injuries, but at the same time, that means, all right, that means Jahmyr Gibbs is now going to be your feature running back. That's still a number one running back in the league. They still have all their receivers, they have all their offensive line, and they have their quarterback. They do not have their lead pass rusher, but a lot of these guys that have gotten hurt on defense, Tim, they're not exactly like world beaters. And I just wonder if maybe we're wanting to write the Lions are dead obituary a little too soon.
I think it's fair to look at the injuries, but I'm not writing the obituary, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, because, like, I mean, in the end, it's like, all right, they lost to the Bills, and, but, like, I don't know, like, man, like, we were all ready to crown the Packers, and they still beat the Packers.
Yep. They did. I was on the Packers that day.
I've decided, I think the Packers right now are the Ravens. I think everyone is, like, wanting to crown both of them. And I can't figure out why.
Well, the funny thing is, once again, I live in this kind of small niche world of gambling, right? And like so many of my colleagues loved the Seahawks on Sunday night. I was like, okay, I get it, right? On the road at Seattle, that's a weird spot. Seattle needs it to keep. And they went in there and just gave
I was
dopes.
On the other side of that because I was like, the Packers had the extra rest. I actually think they're like in the have to have it mode. Also, Seattle was that team that all year I couldn't figure out one way or the other.
We figured them out on Sunday because they did not. They got smoked there. But I think this boils down to me wanting to be more in on the Eagles.
And I like my whole deal is if you want to tell me the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, I got no problem with that. I just feel like there's a lot of people like, oh, the Lions are done.
No, the Lions aren't done, but the injuries are certainly mounting.
The Lions remind me of like the Bills 2 years ago, where when they are limping into the playoffs, but at the same time, I'm not sure the Bills' offense was ever as good as the Lions' offense is. Like, here's the thing. You're going to score on them, but they're going to score on you too. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times these teams are like, oh, they got a bad defense. Sometimes, like, it's as simple as, like, they need, like, two stops a half.
Their offense, especially indoors, man, whoo, buddy. That, I mean, how much does it boil down to who wins, who gets the one seed here?
A lot in the NFC.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's look at the schedules from here on out. Detroit.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.